You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. After 9 on a Friday, joining me from the great state of Texas is Michael Musselman. What's going on, Gunner? What are you doing?
We are just coming back from Fort Worth with Ralph and David in the truck. We're coming back from lunch.
How was lunch?
So it's good. Coming back right now to Granbury. A little bit of rain here and there, but it's feeling good.
What about the, are you getting any of the collateral?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah. Will it, will you guys get a taste of it?
It depends on how far it comes inland. And if we got any of it, it'd be like on that, you know, where it swirls on the outer edge of that, it'd bring it up.
Right.
It's swirling counterclockwise.
Right.
We'd get rain from the outer edge of it. But no, we're not, like some of the cities that are going to get directly impacted, they're looking at like 3 feet of rain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. No.
How much rain did you get yesterday? Oh, 3 feet. No. You mean 3 inches?
No.
No, like three feet, like a small child.
A small child. Wow.
Oh, there's a Marine Corps LVF. Yeah. Not an Army one.
It's a what?
A Marine Corps LVS just passed me on the freeway. Well, it's strapped to a semi-shredder, but still a Marine Corps LVS. You usually see Army LVSs down here.
What's it doing in Texas?
Well, it's on the back of a truck, so it looks like a pretty bad state of affairs, so it looks like it's going somewhere to get either retired or fixed.
Is it going east or west?
North.
Hmm.
On 35, or on 820.
That means it's going to Barstow.
Yeah, it could. Well, yeah. Yeah.
No. What am I? It's going to Albany.
No, Albany is the other way.
If it's going north?
Yeah, but it could be, I guess. I'm not, because the hurricane, he wouldn't go Tarrant. That'd be a bad choice.
Are you closer to Albany or Barstow?
I think we're like smack dab in the middle, man.
Smack dab in the middle. All right.
But we are on the other side of the Mississippi River, so.
Why not?
So if that was the recruiting thing, you know, you west of Mississippi, you go to San Diego. East of Mississippi, you go to Camp Lejeune. No. Or not Lejeune, Parris Island. You know, that's the first time I ever said his name right. Lejeune.
That's how he said it, so.
So it goes into retirement. Yeah, I didn't know Lejeune was a frog. He liked to be, his name pronounced it, like a frog would pronounce it, like a Frenchie.
Whoa.
Then he could say, well, I'm Cajun. Okay, you're an American frog.
Nice. You're calling General Lejeune a frog?
Well, if he's, once it gets pronounced Lejeune, yeah, he's a frog. Lejeune. That's the American way.
That's how they say it in Texas.
Assimilate into the population there, General.
Yeah. You and your crazy-ass pronunciation.
Yeah. Right? Your French, your froggy French pronunciation.
Yeah.
Take it back to Paris.
And I don't care that you're a general, Lejeune. That's Lejeune, son.
Yeah, I remember that when I was active, I'd say, like, Lejeune. And then someone's like, Lejeune. I say, well, I'm not French. I'm American. I pronounce it Lejeune.
Yeah.
Last time I looked.
No R in that word.
Last time I looked, I fought for this freedom. I can pronounce it any way I want, son of a bitch.
Whoa. Easy on the icons of the Marine Corps, bro.
I know. Speaking of icon,
oh,
so you talked to the old CMC, huh?
Yeah.
How's Bob doing?
He's sounding good, man. He sounded good. He
did you give him my regards?
Well, yeah, I mentioned you by name. I said that we had had I said we had an interesting discussion after the Osprey went down. Got emails from guys who've been in the crash and the value of the Hilo dunker training or not. Were we doing it right? Were we doing it often enough? And the fact that throughput was constricted by having civilian contractors. And then he did the commandant thing, which is, okay, well, we have 8 of them. There's 10 contractors at each one. So I got to find 80 Marines. I got to carve 80 Marines now, to go ahead and do that. And you know what I mean? They're thinking that's not hard.
You know, in Mac, we have 8 of them.
That's what he said.
Okay. So I hate to be, again, bearer of bad news or negative now here, but, okay, so we have 8 of them. I thought we had 3 of them. So we have 8. Let's do a math problem. So we're doing 6,000 a year. What's 6,000 divided by 8?
48.
So we're doing, each site's doing 480, right?
Hold on, no. I just made that up. You like stumped me with your 6,000 divided by 8. 6,000 divided by 8 equals 750.
Okay, we're doing 750 per site.
No, we're not. Really? Some sites are doing more. Pendleton's doing more.
Why?
Why
are we doing more at Pendleton? Why are we doing more at Cherry Point?
Because there's more people closer to those dunkers.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. So if you want to do we own 8. We're
right.
Paying for 8.
Right.
So 750 per site, 750 divided by 352. What are we going to do 352? Because I aren't doing it every day. So divided by 270.
Okay.
Is what? Because that's usually the normal work days, 270. Is what?
It's not a very big number. 2.7 people.
So each site is averaging 2.7 people a day.
Correct.
And we call that successful? $6,000 is enough? Where in business do you keep putting money into something that's producing 2.7 units widget a day? Let's see, jets, building jets. If you were making 2.7 jets a day, that's acceptable. Or a ship. That's acceptable. Or building hospitals. That'd be amazing.
How about if you were canoeing to the moon?
Or training.
How about if you were canoeing to the moon 2.7 times a day?
That would be pretty impressive.
That would be good.
We're accepting the fact that we're training 2.7 Marines a day in Hilo Dunker. Good enough. Good enough. And how many of those 6,000 people only do it once? We don't know that stat. Oh, okay. So we can assume that 50%. So you're counting the same person twice. Are you? Yes. Because I know civilians working for the government. They always do that kind of stuff. Not one guy. Well, he went through training twice. So that's 2 people then. That's how they get paid. So that 2.7 is probably around 2. And again, we're accepting
this? No, it's 3.
Okay, let's round up. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
3 makes it sound so much better.
Okay. It doesn't make it sound as bad as 2. Okay, I got the memo. You think it sucks, man. Here I give you a little bit of good news that the Commandant takes on board your idea and you shit all over it.
No, I just, when you say that we're doing, we have a contract with them to do 5,000 a year, and they're doing 6. So we're looking at them going, gee, golly, guys, you guys are doing great. No. You're doing 3 guys a day per site. That's what you're averaging per site. We got a problem with this.
Okay, look. We need to change.
If you let Marines own
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
If you let
no, I don't want to talk about it anymore. You ruined like the whole day.
No. Let's do reverse math, Matt.
Let's say just for
shits and giggles here, we give it to the Marines.
Let's talk
about...
Let's talk about mules. How do you get a mule?
What?
How do you get a mule?
How do you go buy it? Okay, next topic. You go buy a mule. There's no other way to get one. Can't create one. Not that guy. So purchasing it is my only option. Or stealing it. So I get that too.
There you go.
But then I'd be a mule thief and be hung.
You'd be a mule rustler.
A mule rustler.
No.
Which would be pretty damn embarrassing if you were a mule rustler.
You wouldn't be hung.
I'd rather be a horse rustler.
You'd be...
At least there's some honor with stealing horses.
There is a little bit more honor. Like, who stole...
Yeah, there's no honor in mules.
Who stole the mule? Oh, that guy over there. The guy with the big eyebrows? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
He's a mule thief. And...
Okay. Let me just... Before we go on, let me just leave you with this last one topic. So, back to the Hilo Dunker, and I'll leave it alone. If you gave it to Marines, and the Marines produced a whopping two more than these civilians, but they did it 330 days of the year, you've doubled your people. So is it worth it? Yes. Or you kick the civilians in there, or you fire the guy who does the contracting negotiations with the contractors.
Right.
And that's not an acceptable number.
Right. No, I'm with you. I wanted you to feel good before you went off on this fucking number thing that maybe you made a difference. Maybe that while you were stuffing your fat ass full of food today, that I was like helping you make a difference. And you would like feel good about yourself. But
I don't need to make a difference anymore.
Okay?
With
your gut full of chow, okay, and your bushy eyebrows, all you're doing is bitching about it. Nice.
Another good reason. My job is to make it better.
Another good reason.
And once I make it better,
that we should go extinct.
Make it better again.
No, we're going extinct. That was a great idea yesterday. We need to be extinct.
No, that is the best idea. Yeah. Get rid of the human race.
Extinction.
Number one.
Extinction
Mass
is what
extinction
we...
on the epic proportion that removes all life from Earth.
That's right. We'll just leave some books and maybe a PlayStation. That's all we're leaving.
Yep.
Everything else...
Because humans are nothing but parasites.
Yeah. It's over. Extinction, that's what we need.
Yeah, we need a mass extinction.
Why are you so unhappy?
Ice age.
Why are you so...
No, I'm not. I'm in a great mood. I'm in a great mood, man.
You are?
Yeah. This is how I am, and I'm in a great mood. I'm in a bad mood. You don't want to see me in a bad mood.
Yeah, he doesn't talk. When Mike's in a bad mood, he doesn't talk. Well, he does, kind of. He doesn't talk a whole lot, you could tell. And then he asks, like, very specific questions. And then the next thing you hear him that comes out of his mouth is, who are you? And then you're like, uh-oh, hold on. Let me stop what I'm doing because this is about to get good. And then...
Well, I just don't like stupidity.
I know.
I cannot tolerate a fool.
But then Mike, when he does it, it's pretty funny. He mixes in enough comedy to make it amusing. So you always want to be a part of it. So,
hey, you know who does contract negotiation with contractors in the military?
Let me guess.
Civilians.
Of course.
Contractors.
Of course.
Yeah. We contract out people to contract the contract negotiations.
Because it's too complicated.
How
stupid
are we?
Too complicated for us.
Yeah, that's canoeing to the moon shit for the Marines.
Exactly.
They can't do that.
It's too complicated. If we tried to do it, we couldn't understand it because there's so many regulations.
Yeah.
Right? You're the one that told me, Mac, you don't understand. It's written in the law. The reason you have to have... practice ammunition for combat is because it's green tipped and the army went to the black tip, the M2998, and that thing's a piece of shit. Okay? Now, I've been working on this other round for like 60 years. And, oh yeah, could we buy it? Yeah, not a problem. Yeah. See? I pay attention.
Yeah. That's simple stuff.
Right. But we're not smart enough to do the simple stuff. That's my point.
No, yeah, my point, well, the whole thing with yesterday was this, I'm just tired of people and the way they think. And the problem is, the biggest problem is we're listening to the minority. These people that want these statues down, they're the minority. They're very small. They're a very small voice. But it seems like today, the smaller voice you have, the bigger stance you make.
Especially like, what was this? The woman that wanted Trump to be assassinated.
What?
Yeah, the woman that wanted our president of the United States to be assassinated.
She's a
You know what happened 50 years ago? You know what happened to her if she said that publicly?
She'd wind up in the river.
She'd be in prison. She'd be in Sing Sing.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Well, 50 years ago, maybe she'd have been in Alcatraz.
But hold on. Here's, but she would have been in prison. Here's what I find ironic, though. I was watching. I don't know what I was watching. It might have been Lexington, Kentucky, where they're having this discussion. Okay? about these racist symbols. And so, and everybody pretty agitated. And I think that's where it was. So I'm sitting there watching it thinking, you know, the woman who's the mayor that's moderating this discussion is black. Okay.
Yeah.
So think about this. From the time this issue started to today, we've had a black president elected twice, and now we have a black woman, a black female mayor moderating the discussion about taking down Confederate statues.
Yeah.
Is that progress? I think so. I think we ought not be. So let's everybody dial it back. We're doing okay because look who's moderating the goddamn conversation. That's progress.
Well,
okay? It's like, come on.
You look at these people's arguments and they have no substance. No, they can't stand any ground because you take these towns like out of Chicago, Illinois. All black people on the city council, a black mayor, a black police chief, a black fire guy, a black president, everything. And they still have bad problems. So it's not racism, folks.
What is it?
It's not. It's basically we have a hatred for one another. Doesn't matter your color skin. We have a hatred of beliefs. You know, I can't believe one thing without being branded. I'm a white guy with a cowboy hat on in Texas. I'm a racist. I must belong to the KKK, for Christ's sake. That's the immediate, because that's the way you brand it.
Right.
You just to live next to Stallone, you're a gun-toting, you know, nimble, doesn't know anything about anything. You know, the problem is people cannot express themselves unless, you know, I can't speak my mind. You know why?
Why?
Because if it goes against one person's beliefs, they're offended. And once that one person is offended, I have changed my life. But it doesn't work with me because I am white. And, you know, and I'm tired of hearing this, well, they can't be racist because they're a minority. What? Who made that rule up? You know, minorities can't, if you're part of a minority group, you can't be a racist. Well, why not? Well, because you have been picked upon, you know, you've been part of this whole race card for your whole entire life. So that gives you the right to do whatever you want to do then? Sure does. Where's the common sense on that? That's the problem is we lack common sense anymore. We can't do anything when it comes to making decisions. We gotta make everybody feel happy. You know, the same thing, Mac. We everybody gets a trophy. Even to come in last place, you get a trophy. But we don't even put first, second, third place. And then when we do,
might make somebody,
people just melt.
Might make you, somebody feel
what?
Bad.
I'm not as good as that person next to me? No. Oh my goodness. And they melt. Because their whole life they've been told that they're the same, that they're equal. You're not. Everybody's different. Thank God for that. But you know, and your parents aren't going to come to your rescue when you step out of the house. you go to work for yourself, or you go to work and job, and then your little snowflake, you know, attitude disintegrates when you find out that you're not as good as everybody thought, as everybody told you you were.
Hold on, I've got to.
I wasn't told every single time that I did. I was a great kid.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, how many times were you told that? Matt, today,
here's the
greatest kid in the world.
I was supposed to be a great kid. That's what I was supposed to be. It wasn't like they weren't trying to convince me to be one. That was what was expected. And if you weren't, corporal punishment, Kathleen, she would get after your ass. She was not having that.
Corporal punishment. Corporal punishment was well underway at my household.
Oh, are you kidding me? I was
the recipient of most of the corporal punishment.
I had my mom.
But rightfully so.
I
didn't hear that I was a good kid until I was an adult.
Because you weren't a good kid.
I was? I was a good kid?
No, you weren't. Okay. No, but I had my mom on my radio show. And I was calling her corporal punishment, Kathleen, to her face for the first time. And she said, "What are you calling me?" And she goes, why would you call me that? And I said, "Are you serious?" She's like, I don't recall like disciplining you to excess. I'm like, "Of course you don't." She's like, "What are you trying to say?" I said, "What am I trying to say? Mom, you hit me with everything that was in or near the house."
And your imagination on tools to spank me was better than a writer in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Her favorite, though, was she had, she liked to do gardening. Not very often, but she would get after it every once in a while. And she liked to put bender board, what she called bender board.
Oh, yeah, bender boards.
I
never got hit by a bender board.
No, but there were stakes that you used to pound in the ground to hold the bender board in place. That was Kathleen's. That was Kathleen's go-to
signature.
Yeah, she used to say, "Okay, everybody, get in the bathroom. You go get me a bender board steak." Like what? And then you're standing around while somebody one of us went to go get a bender board steak, and you're like, and then like she put you over her knee, she pulled your pants down, and she right, and you try to get a hand back there. She like. Cracked your wrist. And then she like yelled at you like, "Why do you make me do that?" Like, "I didn't make you do that. What are you, nuts? What have you lost your mind? You crazy woman? Quit smoking so much and drinking all that Gallo Vin Rosé." Key, 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 key. "Oh, you want to say bad words, Mr. Dirty Mouth? What? Here, have a bar of Ivory soap and let me," and my mom had me in a headlock, and then she rakes the square Ivory soap bar, like, it's not like Dove, like, they could slide in and out of your mouth because it's curved.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Ivory, man, it's got to have bricks. And she's raking it all over the top and bottom of my teeth. And she goes, Mr. Dirty Mouth, how's dirty as your mouth? No. She's like shit-talking me after she kicks my ass. And I'm like, what, like 6 or 7? Some shit like that? Like, you got to be kidding me. And then, I mean, my dad spanked
me. You're a bad kid, man.
My dad,
I was never that bad.
After I got hit by a car, he spanked me because he got scared. My handlebars are kind of sideways, so I'm riding my bike down the street after I got hit by the car, and I get launched. I kind of do a somersault. I kind of hit and roll, but I'm scared shitless because this car just hit me. My sister yells for my mom. Michael's been hit by a car. I never saw my mom run in my life except this one time. And it was horrifying. She didn't go to gym class. They didn't have PE when my mom was a kid. She came running out, and I was like, "Stop!" And it was awful. And so she comes running. "Are you okay?" And I'm like, She goes, "Get home right now." And so my handlebars are crooked. I get on my bike, and I'm like running down the street. We live like 9 houses down. As I'm coming into the driveway, my dad was on the roof. He's coming around the corner. And he sees me and goes, "What happened?" And I said, "I got hit by a car." And then he grabs me by the arm. Poof, poof, poof. He spanks me and he goes, "Get in your room." I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, aren't I the victim here? I'm the one that got hit by a car. I'm getting the shit beat out of me. Why? Don't ever scare me like that. My heart was in my throat. Oh, yeah, really? Is that why you spanked me? So, yeah. But she, yeah, and so she went, when she came on my radio show, she was like totally denied all of it. I don't, Michael, why?
Well, they lose memory of it, yeah. Yeah. I never got force-fed soap. I volunteered, you know, so like, I picked up the bar of soap and stuck my mouth. I did not fight that. That was easy.
What?
Yeah, I was a volunteer when, you know, go put a bar of soap in your mouth. Okay.
She didn't do it? She had you do it yourself?
Yeah, I just did it. Just
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I didn't have to go through like you did, where I didn't fight it.
No, I did.
You know, if they would have done it themselves, they would have said, open your mouth.
I wasn't going down like a bitch. I was going down fighting.
And then you're trying to drool out of the side of your mouth and get that soap out of your mouth.
And you can't get the soap out of your mouth for hours. Hours. Hours.
Just thinking about it, I can taste every soap again.
Yeah, it tasted like shit, too. But
yeah,
let me just tell you, she got around the corner, and I was cussing again. I didn't care. I heard all that cussing.
They didn't have, like, soaps today, like melon, cucumber. That would have been kind of a fun.
Yeah, it
was apricot, peach.
Can
I have the apricot peach today, Mom?
This was straight up soap. And she would get pissed. She'd get pissed. She would get pissed. But the most pissed I ever saw, I was probably 16. I'm working out in the backyard, and I don't know what I said to her, but she was pissed at me. And she came out, and she asked me a question, and I said something like five times as smart. And so she's standing right outside. It's in the summer in Sacramento. I'm outside on the deck working out, and she comes out, and she says something to me. And my sisters are all in the TV room watching this, and I'm standing there, and she comes from like down by her thigh with her hand and tries to give me the one niner eight right across the face. And she gave it her best bolt, but by that time I was 16. She hits me, and I looked at her and I said, was that supposed to hurt? Her head almost exploded. And she looked at me, and her face just turned red. And she turned, and she stomped into the house. And my sisters were, you asshole. Why would you say that to her? I'm like, she can't hurt me anymore, okay? I'm invincible to that.
Yeah, she can. She just goes something bigger and heavier.
You know, I thought she went to get a gun. I'm like, we don't have any guns. She can't do anything. So, yeah.
What's she going to do, shoot me? And then she comes out with a bullwhip.
Exactly. I wasn't really sure what she would do. And I, you know what, and I shouldn't have said it, but I was being a smartass. That might surprise some people, but I was being a smartass. It wasn't a cool thing to do. I wasn't being a good son.
No.
Yeah.
That is surprising today.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know why she was dogging me out. I was a good kid. I was not a bad kid. I wasn't into drugs.
We
I wasn't into drinking.
Kids.
You probably were. No, you weren't. You were like stealing cars and getting caught and shit like that.
Mac, I never stole a car. I borrowed one, but I gave it back. But I never stole one. Remember, stealing cars is something that you get branded after the court finds you guilty.
Oh.
Right?
Oh. Oh.
So, if you say, I stole a car, and let's say, for argument's sake, that I took a car that wasn't mine, but I did never had my day in court and was adjudicated by a judge, then you can't say I was a car thief. You could say that there's, you know, an alleged, you have to use the word alleged, because if you say, hey, I'm a car thief, I'm going to sue you for slander.
Oh, really?
Prove it. Yeah.
My cousin just...
I mean, I wouldn't sue you.
Hey, my cousin just texted me, be nice to your mom. Hey, and my cousin's younger brother, my cousin Patty, Her younger brother, Tommy, my mom, like, she wanted a piece of that kid's ass. Like, we'd go, like, for family stuff. She, like, yeah, my mom had her eye on that kid all the time. She's like, step out of line one time, I'm going to crush you. He's running around.
Your
like,
ass is
yeah,
mine.
He's running around like a little maniac, his face all red and shit. I mean, he looked like a monkey. Right. Like, he was half Italian, so when he was little, he looked like a monkey. And, so
is this the guy that just texted you?
No, that's his, that's my, his sister, my cousin Patty. And,
oh, I thought you were calling him a monkey on the radio.
No, no, no. He, when he was little, he looked like a monkey. And so, but he was running around like a little wild man. And Kathleen used to just smoke her Parliaments and simmer. I'm going to get a piece of that kid. I'm going to jack his shit up. I'm going to jack his shit up. Yeah, she did not. Yeah, she did not. She did not like that stuff. And she, like.
Because only the classy broads back in the day sink Parliament.
Is that how it went? Is that, she wasn't classy. She went to the E Club. Yeah. She was,
oh, man.
She was one of those girls. You know, it's kind of sobering to, like, where did your mom and dad meet? They met at the E Club. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, that didn't mean anything to me. Till I joined the Marine Corps and I'm like, my mom was in, like, when did you meet? Oh, I was 20. So you were going on base looking for dudes when you were 20? Like, what is wrong with you in the E Club, for God's sakes? At Fort Lewis.
Yeah, and you didn't even have high standards?
Yeah, at Fort Lewis, Washington. Like, shit. Nice, mom. Wait, you didn't even hang out at the O Club. It was the E Club. Right? Not even like the NCO club, because I had them all back in the day. NCO, staff NCO, officer club. And
and it's just as easy to pick up a young officer than it is a Lance Corporal.
But there's only one club where people are going through the window and shit. That's right. That's the that's the E Club. That's the thrill seekers. Okay? So, yeah. My mom. Corporal punishment. But let me tell you this. My mom's, the upside of my mom, an awesome cook. My mom was an awesome cook, and she would argue about anything, and she always had to be right. Like, oh, my God, just stop already. So, yeah, she was Kathleen. Kathleen was born in Seattle. I grew up hearing about Nordstrom's, never had seen it because it wasn't a national chain. Oh, Nordstrom's is the best store. Oh, really, moms? Just shut up, really. Just stop it. I never said that. I mean, I never say that to my mom. I'll tell you another funny story about my mom. My dad is going, he's managing the A's maybe, the Oakland A's 1970, and he's going to a banquet. Right. He plays in a golf tournament and he goes into a banquet. His pitching coach, I've known since I was like three. He was my Uncle Bill. He was on the USS Lexington in World War II. And he used to have these lumps on his head, and he'd say, when I was a little kid, he'd say, hey, Mike, what are these? And he'd point to one of his lumps. And I would say, I don't know. And he'd say, a couple of scotches. Right? So that's my Uncle Bill. So he and my dad go play in this golf tournament. Now that they're come home, they're going to change. They're going to go to a banquet. But Uncle Bill's like, he's had a few too many. So he's kind of gassed late in the afternoon. So I'm sitting at the table doing my homework. They walk in. My dad's changing. They're going to a banquet. So my Uncle Bill's sitting there. My mom's, Kathleen's making dinner. And so I know that she's listening to what he's saying to me. He goes, hey, will you do your Uncle Bill a favor? And I think I'm a junior. I'm a senior in high school. And I said, what's that? And he said, just promise me you'll do it. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, promise me you'll do it. Would your Uncle Bill ever steer you wrong? And I said, no. Uncle Bill pitched for the Boston Braves. His name's Bill Posdell. You could look it up. He was hilarious. Anyway, I said, no. He said, okay. Then just say. I said, okay, I'll do it. He said, do you have a girlfriend? And I said, yeah. He said, do me a favor. I want you to take her out and lay her. And my mom's listening, right? My mom's listening to you all of a sudden this pot crash. And I'm like, he said, now tell me you'll do it. And I said, and I'm hemming and hawing. He goes, you said you promised me. And I'm like trying to end the conversation. And I say, okay, I'll do it. And with that, like, then my dad shows up a few minutes later. They leave. The door shuts. My mom just launches on my ass in the kitchen.
Right.
She's like, what did you say to him? I said, Mom, I was just trying to get him to shut up. Oh, really? That's why you said you'd do it? And I said, Mom, what was I going to say? Was I going to have an argument? He's drunk telling me to lay my girlfriend and I'm going to argue with him in front of you? What are you, crazy?
Right.
But you told him you'd do it. I'm like, but Mom, it doesn't make
any emails?
It doesn't make any difference because I already have. No, I didn't say that to her.
Hey,
text message.
Did you ever post my email for someone to have gun questions asked if they wanted it?
No, everybody knows.
I mean, they can contact me directly.
They can? Can I put it up on the website? If you have a gun question,
yeah, absolutely.
Contact the man.
If you have a gun question,
contact a man named Gunner.
Right. But if they come back and some know, like, hey, I listen to the radio show, and, blah, 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 and then I'll say, okay. But if they come out and say, hey, I got a gun question, click. But, they got to mention All Marine Radio.
Oh, so they're legit? I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put it up.
But they have to mention AMR.
Montana man wants to know if we want him to call in to explain mules. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Call in 13 minutes.
And then he wrote this.
No.
You need to talk about Colombian women.
Why?
Well, do you remember we had in Afghanistan, I had this thing, I don't know, that I built. And it was kind of funny, but it had pictures of women in it. And there was a couple.
What?
There was a couple Colombian women in it. One of them was a senator's wife. Marco Rubio's wife is Colombian.
Yeah, I know.
And so he came over. So he comes over to to see Marines in combat or whatever. And so the guy who called in the other day that nobody could hear that we let talk for 5 minutes because we're loyal friends, right? And then when he got off the radio, he kept listening. And then when Mike and I started making fun of him, he sent me this nasty text. He goes, you assholes, you can hear anything I was saying? I'm like, no, but Gunner said he could. So I let you talk because we're battle buddies. We're friends. I mean, it's an act of loyalty.
Right.
And he got pissed. Anyway, he's going to go see.
He got mad because we're loyal friends.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah. I said, okay, next time. I said, look, I didn't want to listen to you, but Mike said he could hear you, even though he couldn't. I mean, but that's...
No, I can understand every third or fourth word.
So he got pissed about our act of loyalty. Anyway, Furness is going to go meet Senator Marco Rubio, and I said, hey, tell Senator Rubio that the RCT-1 Marine sick his wife's like smoking hot.
Right.
Vanessa said, I can't say that. I'm like,
yes, you can.
I'm like, are you a guy? He's like, yeah. Is he a guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you say, hey, just so you know, my Marine sick your wife's smoking ass hot. It's not like she's like the first lady of anything.
Like, no, it's better to say it to the guy of the wife than to go up to the wife and say, oh, by the way, we all think you're smoking hot. That's inappropriate.
Yeah, that's what President Trump did. That's what President Trump did in France.
I know. But to say it to the guy, that's something different.
That's a compliment. Like, yeah.
We do that all the time. Yeah. Man, your wife. Now, you don't describe parts of her body.
You can't.
You say a blanket statement. No, you don't say like, man, your wife's got a banging ass. You don't say that. Nope. Man, your wife has got a rack. Like, nope, you step. That's, nope. You
can't do that.
You just say, hey, you know what? Your wife is either smoking hot, attractive, pretty. You know, you use generic terms. Like,
right.
You're describing the whole thing.
Well, see,
but don't,
he was afraid.
Don't emphasize a part of her body, because that just means everybody knows that that's the part you're focusing on.
Yeah.
And that's uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah, no, I had a Marine, a lieutenant, like, lean across my desk and look at a picture of, like, my wife and my son, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like,
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you looking at that picture that close?
I mean, I've said it before.
And he looked at me and said, hey, sir, I'm not putting in my spank bank. And I said, I said, what?
Yeah.
I said, let me just tell you, my wife is in your spank bank. I will kill your ass. He's like, sir, I swear to God. I'm like, liar. Here's another one. Yeah, so we had this little thing, and it had a couple Colombian women in it. And Montana man, a little partial to the Southern Hemisphere. I'm not going to lie to you. Then here's another one. I broke every wooden spoon in the house because I was tired of getting my ass beat with them. Yeah, let me just tell you, if you tried that shit with Kathleen, then we go to metal. She hit my younger sister, Maureen, who passed away a couple years ago. She hit my younger sister my mom was shoveling ashes right out of the fireplace, and we just got this shag carpet. And Maureen, the dumbass, she picked up the bag and said, hey, I'm Santa Claus. And she swung it and threw it to put it on her back. And the bag explodes, right? As she throws it on.
Ash went everywhere.
Ashes go everywhere. My mom takes the shovel, cracks her right in the middle of the back. Maureen goes down like she's been shot by a 50 cal. I was like, wah! Oh, man, my mom. And I'll tell you another time.
Because you think you're next.
No, I was like, my mom, when she was deranged, when she got crazy, she would, like, nearest person was getting her ass beat. She did it in Anaheim. She did it in Anaheim. We went to Disneyland for the first time. My dad's managing the A's. They're playing the Angels, so we're going to the ball game, going to Disneyland. Big weekend for the family. And I think I'm 12. And my sisters bought one of those glow-in-the-dark Tinkerbell wands at Disneyland. They put it right under the lamp because there was a ledge. My dad has a suite, so he's got this office, big TV room and all, and two bedrooms, one on one side of the suite, one on the other. So my sisters put the Tinkerbell wand underneath the ledge of the lamp, and we go to the ball game. So it sits there for, like, whatever, 4 or 5 hours. So this thing is like you could see it from Pittsburgh when it was in Anaheim. So we come back.
You really couldn't, but that's in, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. So I don't even know about the wand, and I go in the bedroom, and they shut off the lights next door, and one of them grabbed the wand, but my youngest sister didn't know they grabbed the wand, and all of a sudden the wand is flying through the air, and my sister starts screaming. My mom comes in. She's like, what is going on? And she grabs my oldest sister, one of her favorite targets, and she just, like, throttles her. And so, you know, everything gets calmed down. My dad comes home. You know, we go to bed. And my sister, who passed away, Maureen, she gets up, and she, like, running at – I wake up, and my sister Peggy and I are asleep. My oldest sister and I are sleeping in the same bed. Peggy's sleeping right next to the door that comes into the bedroom from the suite. Maureen's up.
Right.
She opened the door to the hallway. She's saying, guys, they took the money. They took the money and left. And I wake up, and I'm like, what is going on? Maureen's running back and forth at the edge of the beds saying they took the money. My mom comes in, Peggy in her see-through nightgown, which was still horrifying. Peggy sits up and says, what's going on? My mom looks down, boom, right across the face. And I'm like, shit. I crawl under the covers. She grabbed my sister, Maureen. Maureen, what are you doing? Peggy's like, what is that for? My mom says, shut up or you'll get more of it. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So Kathleen.
Yeah, you know what that's called?
Discipline.
Proximity punishment. And I was, it's like a grenade going off. It doesn't matter if you were part of the act or not. If you were in the proximity of 15-meter ECR, then you got your ass banged. So if you had a parent that was a proximity punisher like that, you know, you come in and you're storming, the first kid you see, you're like, bam! And then, what did I do? What did I? Bam! One more time. Keep crying and you're going to get more. Well, I didn't do anything. Bam! You know? And that was great if you were the guy getting it. Not you. If you're the guy that did it, because all the energy and anger is being released on the proximity punisher. So when it finally came to you, you got a little bit of it, and then your sibling looks at you like, you son of a bitch. You're like, all right, don't be near the grenade. You know? Nowhere to kick that thing. You're the grenade sump. You're the punishment sump.
Oh, so, but you know what? And you didn't bitch about it because it's like, yeah, I probably deserved it because, you know, all the shit that I've done that they haven't caught me at, I mean, it kind of evens out in the long
run.
Oh,
yeah.
But yeah, now, I mean, when a parent spanks a kid, oh, you got to get a permit, right? You got to make a therapy appointment, and then you tap them on the ass twice. Come on, man.
Yeah, you're going to jail, man.
Come on. Spanking my kid? Are you kidding me? What a joke. Our kids.
Teacher wants to spank my kid? What'd my son do? Oh, he called the teacher a slut. Oh, no. Take his teeth out next time. You know, what? You gotta get a sound reel, like a gag reel, and you do that. Have you heard David Chappelle say that? What? You know, talk about it. That's stupid, like, what?
Yeah. And they didn't flinch, man. They beat your ass, and then they got mad at you because you made them beat your ass, and they felt bad about it? It's like, yeah.
Well, that's how I look at life now. Every time I see something, like, stupid, I do the David Chappelle. What?
Do you think
I'm going to call that the David Chappelle what? Like, when you see something, like, going on, you're like, tonight, watch. Something's going to come on TV. Tina's going to go, that's stupid. I'm going to go, what? That's going to be my new thing now.
But let me tell you, the hand was you know, was the least threatening, unless it was my dad.
No, instruments. They never use their hand.
Right. My dad used his hand.
Hand was always like I called it a taste test.
Right.
You knew you were going to get your ass beat, but you got the hand right off the bat just for the taste test. And then comes the belt. The hand was like that quick, bam!
No, we got the stick.
There's the taste.
Kathleen didn't.
There's the hors d'oeuvre.
She didn't.
Get hors d'oeuvre.
She rarely used the belt. And I'll tell you what, and like the steak that she would hit, the wood steak that she would, like, that was all right. That wasn't that bad. But the belt, man, I had great respect for the belt. When she went for the belt, it was like, oh, shit.
The belt was major league. You were, man.
Yeah, that was gonna, you're gonna,
you were going up in the world.
You were going to pay. If they got the belt, I mean, yeah, the belt across your legs, you know, poof. And snap, man, that was bullshit. I didn't care for the belt at all. No, I did not.
No, because the belt used just right. It's like a bullwhip. That tip of that belt is going supersonic when it comes across your ass skin. And it's like, whoa. Yeah. No. Yeah. Or when they double it up, and you're getting like two spanks in one because that one first one hits you and then the second piece of leather on the backside that double up smacks in it, and you're like, What?
It's the truth, man. That's like, that's some, the belt is some serious shit. She only got after me with the belt a few times. But like I said, if I would be like, you know, the movie, that TV show Scared Straight. If she said the word belt, I'd be like, oop, freeze. I'm cool. I'm not. Okay, I won't.
Dude, you gotta listen to the David Chappelle. What?
I won't play with matches anymore. Why does the
Don't get me started with fire.
Matches. Why does the house smell like gas? And why is there water in the and why is there water in the fireplace?
I got. Huh? No, I never lit anything on fire in the house. That's stupid.
Well, no, I started the fireplace.
All the fires I lit, Mac, were outside, for Christ's sake. That was stupid.
And then I didn't know how to shut it off and put it out. And so I got some water. I got some water to put it out. My dad came in. Oh, he beat my ass at 4351 Stonehenge Way, man. He's like, he smells. I'm like,
yeah,
right. He smells, and he's like, smells gas, and now he goes over to investigate the fireplace, and he sees water in there. He sees water. Head slews immediately to me, and I'm standing there like looking. I'm sure like 80, 85 different shades of guilty.
Says, yeah.
What did you do? Get over here. Yeah. And he wore my ass out. And let me tell you,
it down.
They hesitated not one bit to do it too.
No.
What do you mean? That's what I was supposed to do. Yeah, you were.
Yeah,
you were. All right. Here's an email. Oh my God. Max, stop being disrespectful to your mother. Even though it's funny as hell.
Even though
it's funny as hell. On a more serious note, my dad would march us out to the barn. He would make us grab one of the separators for the horses and pull our pants down to our thighs, and then he would let us have it with his hand. I'm not sure what's worse, the march out there or leaning forward with my ass sticking out waiting for that first crack on my ass. He said, and then it goes,
that is classic. That's because he's implementing psychological warfare too. Oh, that's a master guy. He knows what the hell he's doing.
But on a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You want to go there?
That's like the guy that gets, you know, you're getting strapped down to the lethal injection table. You know, it's like, you know, it's coming. And you got to go through this whole process. Like, oh, hey, boys, don't worry about the ankle stuff and the wrist stuff. I'm not going to move. Nope. They got to go through this whole thing. This whole process, that whole lead up, you know, that psychological, just stick me in the middle of the night and call it a day.
Yeah. Why we got to do all this?
Yeah. Well, I'm sleeping, coming with a big plunger, like the cartoon thing, and just stick it in me and.
Yeah. Why, when you see me sleeping, yeah, just pump a little sleepy sleep gas in there and then give me an injection and make me go 99. Why?
Yep.
Anyway, we got to get my last
meal.
No,
you got to do it like Dave Chappelle. Do it like Dave Chappelle.
What? All right. I've got to watch that. What do you – you have any big –
you got to watch that, man.
I will. No, I'll get out as a sound effect. What is – you got any big plans for the weekend?
No, not really. Not really. Relaxing. It's the same thing. Just do whatever.
We're going to
You got to listen to David Chappelle, man.
We're going to the baseball game tonight.
Which one?
Angels and Rangers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That should be a good game.
Yeah, no, it ought to be. Angels are playing well. Texas are playing well. They got a good team.
Yeah, Rangers are playing well. They'll play well against each other.
Yeah. So it ought to be good. So fired up. And then Colleen turns 14 tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 years old. 14 years old, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you get when you have kids when you're 45.
Yep. What?
Exactly. Yeah. How old were you when you had your daughter? What, 30?
30.
Mike was 30. Wow.
Yep.
That's incredible. All right.
30.
We're done.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend. There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman. We'll end this program. Too funny. Here's another one. Mac, I'm sitting here laughing my ass off, thinking about the time my dad and mom used to beat my ass. And you know what's funny? When you think back on it, they didn't even pause doing it. Now? Oh, my God. Stop the presses. Call the cops. Call the social workers. Take the kid to counseling. It's too funny when you think about it. And they weren't beating us. I mean, they spanked us because we did stuff wrong. And you know what? What you said a few minutes ago is right. They didn't want you to be a good kid. They expected you to be a good kid. And when you didn't, you paid. So it's not like they were hoping that you would turn out okay. They expected you to turn out okay. You were their kid. And when you didn't measure up, you felt the wrath. And let me tell you, true dad. No, hey, let me tell you, Kathleen had always had two expectations that you would achieve in whatever you did. Yeah, that you would achieve, whether it was sports, and that meant trying and being a good teammate, academically, that you would achieve, and then in terms of your deportment, your conduct, that you would treat other people well. And my life didn't change whether I was at home or whether I went to Catholic school. I was in the same bowling alley. The same rules applied. So I was like, when I joined the Marine Corps, I was like, rules? I can do rules. I've been living by the same rules my whole life. You know, it's just a few more rules, but the same general concept. And so, yeah. And if you want to deviate from the program, you were going to pay. And didn't matter how old you were, you were going to pay. But no, my mom, since my dad was gone so much, my mom made me the human being that I am, for better or for worse. She gets blamed for it, or the credit, depending on what's going on. And my mom is the one that encouraged me to read and my love of history. She took me, she made my dad, the only road trip I ever went on with my dad, in the, I think it was in the minor leagues. And, she made him take me to Montgomery, Alabama, because it was initially the capital of the Confederacy before they moved it to Richmond. And, we went to the museums. He wasn't very interested though, but I was. And so we went. And, the only road trip I ever went on. And she made him take me. And then when, Tora Tora Tora, the movie, I was born on December 7th, so, you know, I used to read about Pearl Harbor, but when the movie Tora 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 came out, it premiered on December 7th. My mom took me to the Alhambra Theater, which was this huge, ornate theater in Sacramento, with the big, like, burgundy, you know, drapes on the sides and that stuff, and the gold, you know, chandelier and the gold lattice work and the gold, you know, ceiling, and then the crimson or red carpet. Yeah, that it's that theater in Sacramento, huge theater, and then outside the grounds were all manicured and things like that. And so, you know, I dressed up in my slacks and my shirt, and then she put on a dress, and we went out to dinner, and we went to see Tora Tora Tora. And I remember telling my mom that I wanted to join the Marine Corps. My dad, like, threw a fit. My mom said, I think that's wonderful. She said, I think you'll love it. I think you'll do great. My mom, Kathleen, she was on it. Here's another email. Dude, we had horses. Picture those whip jockeys using a race. Let me tell you about my mom with a temper and and ask it. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, yeah, farm implements, those kids had it rough, man. They start telling stories. Here's one from Montana, man. Mom was way more scary than Dad. She was all emotional anger. Dad would at least explain why you were getting a belt. You know, that is true. Moms, because I think you spent more time with them, you know, they could sense your contempt when you were just, like, violating the rules. And then they, like, freaked out when you were going to pay. Like, she was even in scores. Dad, like, yeah, I know that. I know I got to do this, but you know why you're getting it. Mom, just go gangster on your ass. I'm telling you, man. That shit is funny. But the funny part about, as opposed to our culture today, is, like, Kathleen, she went, like, right back to watching, you know, One Life to Live and Folding Clothes after she crushed her ass. Yeah, she went back. She had her cup of coffee. She had her ashtray with her Parliament cigarette that she had to put down for a few seconds while she beat your ass. Then she went back watching One Life to Live and Folding Clothes. Right? Going to get dinner ready, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So it goes. More of Almighty Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. That'll do it on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Circle Tuesday on your calendar. That's when you're going to have the Commandant's interview. It's awesome. It's great. Yeah, and you know what? He does not, and one of the cool things about it is he does not try to come across as being infallible. You know, he said, you know, there's certain parts of the interview where he talks about, we're still trying to figure this out. What's the balance point? It's good. And he very generous with his time today. So, can't say thank you enough to him for coming on and sharing his thoughts with us about the future of the Marine Corps, aviation, gender, discipline, keep your honor clean. When he was at Guadalcanal, he said the battlefield is largely untouched. He said John Bazelon's machine gun position is still there. The hole is still there. I said, are you shitting me? He said, nope. He said, you can go. I'm like, are you? He's like, yeah. He said, it gives you the chills. In terms of Marine Corps history, this is the place. That is the hole where all that happened. And that's the area that he had to move bodies away because they were stacked so high. Crazy. So it's a great interview. Another email. You're so going to hell for telling all those stories about your mom. Nah, my mom was the best, man. And I never thought twice about it. And I'll tell you a funny story. Hold on. Montana Man's his mom was a gangster too. I watched my mom come flying across the kitchen, grab the phone out of my sister's hand, hit her in the head with it twice, then commence to kicking her in the shins. To this day, I have no idea why. My sister was 17. Yeah. And you know, and again, we didn't think anything about it. I remember going to the doctor. One of my mom's favorite tricks, if we were out in public and she didn't like something you would do, she would wrap her fingers around your bicep and she would pull you to her and then she would claw you. She would dig her fingernails into your bicep flesh. I could hear it right now. If I have to tell you one more time to stop it, there's going to be trouble. And you couldn't react to her, like, skewering the flesh of your bicep as she dug her fingernails into the muscles of your arm. So she does this to me, and then we go to the doctor, and the doctor looks at my arm. It was always my left bicep too, because she grabbed me with her right hand. So she grabbed my left bicep, and so he looks at my arm. He goes, "What are those marks?" And I went, "My mom's finger." No, and again, you're a kid, right? So your mom's in the room, and I looked, and I said, "My mom's fingernails?" And he looked, and he said, "You should do what she tells you." I said, "Yes, sir." That's the doctor. Yeah, he was in on it, too. Everybody was in on the suppression of kids. Yeah, you punks, you deserved it. They were, too. No bullshit. And again, like, right. Can you imagine coming home, some shit happened at school, and you were trying to blame somebody else? That shit never worked. Ever. Yeah, it wasn't my fault. So, your parents bought that? You were getting your ass kicked. And if a teacher ever called home, there was no even inquisition. You were guilty. Kids, man, today, they're such pussies. They don't even know, the reign of terror that existed. Yeah. When women used to just terrorize kids and stay at home. Yeah, you wonder why when we came home and you changed and you took off? Because your crazy-ass mama who was beating your ass all the time, she was there. I'm not staying there. The only thing that's going to happen if I stay in that house and she's in there is... somebody going to get their ass kicked, and it's going to be me. And in terms of television, at 3:30, Gilligan's Island came on? There was an hour or a half hour of cartoons or some shit? I'm not hanging around for that, man. I'm out of here. Get on your bike and go be somebody. And that's back when you could go, away on your bike. Yeah, me on my gold Stingray. Out of the house, man, and away from corporal punishment, Kathleen. God bless her soul. All right. That'll do it on a Friday. Have a great weekend. Keep in your prayers the sailors of the USS John S. McCain who are missing. Keep in your prayers their families. And hopefully they'll find bodies, and so that families can at least bury their dead. So on a Friday, I hate to end things like this, but we honor their sacrifice. So you'll hear Eternal Father, you'll hear the ceremonial rendition of the Marine Corps hymn, and then a rifle salute dedicated to the sailors of the USS John S. McCain. May God hold him in the palm of his hand. May he hold that palm close to his heart. And especially hold his families close to his heart as well. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.